Fran. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
How are your relationships today? Personal, professional, could they be better? Welcome to Talk Time with Trish, with host Trish Ferrante and co-host Lisa Stewart. There are so many variables that affect our lives. What makes the difference in our lives is genuine communication. Now, here are your hosts, Trish Ferrante and Lisa Stewart.
Good morning, good afternoon, depending upon where you are across the country and across the world. This is Trish Ferrante, and welcome to Talk Time with Trish. Our show is about improving communication for men and women. Today, we're going to talk about how to make action-reaction work for you instead of against you by author and with author Betsy Thompson. Betsy is the author of 6 books and describes herself as having a passion for communicating spiritual concepts. Betsy has worked in the radio, television, commercial print, and film industries for many years and is currently a full-time writer. She has learned important lessons while overcoming her own challenges, which she would like to share with us, the listening audience, today. We are thrilled to have you on the show, Betsy. Welcome.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, I took some time out and I read much of your book, and I liked what I read. Very impressive. Thank you so much for authoring something like that, which I think is critical. It's a critical concept in today's world, but I'm going to zero in and especially say in our country. Tell us what allowed you to write the book.
Well, I would have to say I started writing after I sort of reached a crisis in my life. I was almost homeless in California, and I was in a one-room apartment, roach-infested, in a bad neighborhood, and life had not gone as I had expected it would, and I decided that I was so at the bottom of life, looking from the picture of things, that I had nothing to lose if I would accept who I really am and be myself. And that meant acknowledging the fact that I could communicate with spirit. I knew I could do it when I was 5, but when I shared what I was doing with my sister, she had such a violent reaction and teased me unmercifully for weeks that I stopped doing it. And I was scared to death of if she told others how they would react to me. So I just cut the communication and didn't do it anymore. And at this point in my life in California, I just figured I had nothing to lose by just accepting the fact of who I was. And I decided I would take responsibility for this gift, along at the same time that I was taking responsibility for a lot of other things, the choices that I had made that had gotten me almost homeless. And
well,
so
if we could just focus for a moment, because I think it's very, very interesting, the fact that you recognized that you had this gift as a young girl. It sounds like a very young girl, and yet others, your family members, which is very, very significant, but not uncommon, your sister made fun of you. What is the chronological age difference? How many years apart are you and your sister?
She was 2 years older, and I was around 4 or 5.
And so she began to tease you mercilessly, or you were afraid of that?
She did. She wouldn't let it go for weeks, and I was just mortified. I mean, I had no reason when I started to talk with spirit that I had no reason to consider it odd or unusual, because I didn't I didn't know what, I just knew that it was very pleasant, and I was felt like this spirit understood me. And so I was shocked when she had such a reaction, because we were very close and got along well. And so
you told her, if I may, about this experience, and she turned on you with
it. Well, I said to her, I said, I'm talking to Mama, which is my great grandmother, and I said, at night, and who are you talking to? And her reaction was totally off the wall, as far as I was concerned. It was so reactionary and teasing me, and what are you talking about? And I mean, I guess that was a normal reaction for a child who didn't have this gift. So, I mean, I don't hold it against her. I just, at this point, I realized that I was the one who was odd according to normal standards at that time. But it was very traumatic for me, because the conversations were very meaningful to me. And so at the age of five, I certainly wasn't ready to take responsibility for who I truly was in the face of my sister's reaction.
Yeah, and the reason why I'm sort of emphasizing this area is because I have two girls myself. One I consider to be an indigo child, and I'm sure you know what that is. For the listening audience, an indigo child is someone who sort of has a light shown, I'm not sure what the proper grammar is, but on him or her, where they are incredibly sensitive beyond your average person, and the best way to describe it is extraordinarily heightened senses. And then I have my younger child, who speaks to her grandfather all the time, and takes, who has passed, and she takes a lot of comfort in that, but is also saddened by it, because she misses who he is as a physical entity. So that's sort of kind of why I'm going there, because I'm intrigued by your experience, and yet I feel for you, because while we have similar experiences in our home, personally, that's not the response that my children have given each other. So I'm sorry that you felt that as a young child.
Well, it was many years ago, too. I mean, it's a different world we live in now, Trish, and people are more accepting of that idea, and it's out there for the general public to hear about. In those days, it was nobody talked about anything like that at all. I mean, I had never heard of anything like that. I was only five, and it just, I guess it was the way I planned it for it to happen, but, it was a different time. And a different
You said something there. You planned for it to happen. We do have to take a short break, and, okay. But I do want to pick up there, because I think that's very interesting for our listening audience to understand what you mean by that. Okay. This is Trish Ferrante, and my guest today is Betsy Thompson. You're listening to Talk Time with Trish on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Please stay tuned.
The question of the day: do you want to work at a job you love to do, or do you need to work at a job just to pay the bills? Can you live life without integrity, and do you have to be perfect to be happy? Can you take your emotional actions and reactions and make them work for you instead of against you? These are some of the exciting questions that our guest today, author Betsy Otter Thompson, will guide you through in her new book, What Happens If I? Betsy's book will take you on a journey toward growth and understanding. Using a little humor, Betsy's book will provide the reader with practical skills to reach a fuller, richer, and more meaningful life. If you're interested in purchasing Betsy's book, What Happens If I, go to her website, www.betsyotterthompson.com, or you can go on Amazon and search for books by Betsy Otter Thompson. That's www.betsythompson.com or amazon.com and search for books by Betsy Otter Thompson. Talk Time with Trish is proudly sponsored by Rachel Liu Gluten-Free Foods. Based in Long Island, Rachel Liu's gluten-free muffins and cookies are sold in some of the biggest retail grocery stores in the New York area and will be coming soon to Whole Foods stores in Florida. You can also purchase Rachel Liu's gluten-free cookies and muffins by going online to www.glutenfreemall.com and search for Rachel Liu gluten-free foods. And they can be delivered right to your front door, anywhere in the country. Created by a nutritionist using only high-end quality ingredients, Rachel Liu's gluten-free foods are 100% natural, meaning not only are they nutritious, they're totally delicious. To order, call 516-679-3033 or visit our website, RachelLiuGlutenFreeFoods.com. That's 516-679-3033 or RachelLiuGlutenFreeFoods.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Talk Time with Trish. If you have a question or comment regarding today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you can send an email to info@talktimewithtrish.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, this is Trish Ferrante, and welcome back to Talk Time with Trish. My guest today is Betsy Thompson, and we're talking about how to make action, reaction work for you instead of against you. Before the break, Betsy, we were talking about your choice. You made the comment that I tried to pick up on regarding a comment that you made in passing, but I find to be so interesting, so very, very interesting. Betsy?
I'm here, yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties today. I apologize.
No problem. I said that I'm sure I probably planned it to happen that way because I believe that we are all spirit and we existed before we existed in a body. And I'm sure that I planned my journey according to the challenges that were important to my evolution. And I believe that sincerely because I believe that we set up the challenges that we believe are the ones that will allow us to experience the power of forgiveness and love and moving on. And I have...
When did we set up these challenges?
I think we set them up before we get here.
Before we get here. And are there always challenges, in your opinion?
Well, I think that we're always intent on growing in one way or another and expanding our heart. And so we set up the challenges or the lifetime that we believe will work in terms of expanding our heart. And I think that because of that, every journey is individual because everybody's evolution is individual and everyone is knows the soul and everyone knows exactly what they need to experience in order to expand, which is one reason we can't judge the paths of others because we don't know what they're trying to learn or what they're trying to understand. We don't know how long they want to be here. We don't know any of those facts, so we can't judge it. But I have come to the point where I trust that I set the challenges up that would help me understand who I was and what I was here to do. And since my challenges have worked pretty well, it has reaffirmed my belief that that is so.
That is something that I really want to hear more about. When you were telling your story before I interrupted you a time or two, you were talking about finding yourself to be in a place of potential, and thank goodness it was potential, but potential homelessness. Can you sort of pick up from there and talk about that in relationship to what you were just mentioning and what we were just discussing regarding challenges, your challenges?
Yes. Well, I had a very difficult relationship with my mother and blamed her for everything. In fact, I blamed anyone I could find for my problems. I blamed her. I blamed two husbands. I blamed anyone I could find so I didn't have to take responsibility for the fact that I had made the choices that had gotten me to being almost homeless. No one else had forced me to make those choices. I had made them. So it was the idea that the fact is that the blaming was so intense. And what happens is whatever focus you take is going to expand. So as I blame...
Wait, stop for a second, because I just find this to be so fascinating. Can you give the listeners an example of blaming just pull one out of the air if you can, meaning, you know, I don't want to pry into your personal
life. That's okay. I said that, you know, the problems I had with my mother, that that she was always criticizing me and never finding anything good about me. That was the reason that I couldn't find a husband who appreciated me. I couldn't find a husband who respected me. It was all her fault.
Were you 12 at the time?
That was the point of view that I came from. And when I was married, then the marriage didn't work. It was all the other person's fault that it hadn't worked. And then, of course, because I had blamed, I hadn't taken responsibility, I got married again, and I created the exact same situation again, where I had to look at this and say, "Who, you know, what is going on here that needs to be looked at?" And so that is what happened. And so I was just, you know, the more I blamed, the more I attracted people into my life who were blaming. And then it was just more people around me who had the same focus I had, the same negative focus I had. And so it almost, I mean, blaming and blaming and blaming got me to the point of being homeless. And so it was then at that point where I couldn't go any lower than I was, that I decided. I was also exposed at the same time to A Course in Miracles, which for me was all about taking responsibility.
Well, and if we can stop for a second, is that what you're referring to when you use the word expansion, when you were saying blaming got me more blaming? Is that an example of expansion?
Absolutely. You can take your focus in any direction you want to take it. You can take it in a positive direction or a negative direction, but whichever direction you take is going to expand, because the universe thinks everything is love. So therefore, if I am expressing blame, the universe thinks that I interpret love as blame. And so the universe loves to give you what you love. It just gave me a lot more blame and a lot more things, people to blame and people who were blaming. It was just everywhere in my life.
But that was your experience. You came up with, from what if I just apply basic logic, your life consisted of more experiences whereby you could continue to blame. Is that fair to say?
Yes, of course. And the people who were blaming me. Because our auras were similar. You attract similar energy back to yourself. And so therefore I was attracting people in my life who were very happy to blame me or other people for their problems.
What is an aura, again, for the listening audience? Because everything you're saying is so fascinating that I want the listeners to really grasp, you know, be able to grasp their arms around your beliefs.
Okay, well, we are all energy, and around energy there's a light. And then within that light are all the ideas that we express out towards others. And that represents who we are in the moment, which means that you can be something else the next moment. But in the moment that you are, your aura holds all the ideas that you have expressed out towards other people. So therefore, if you have been kind to other people, you are going to have an aura that welcomes kindness back. If you have been cruel to other people, you are going to have an aura that attracts cruelty back to you. And because it is familiar with your aura, it gets an entrance into your aura. And that's when you feel that awful feeling in your heart when someone is unkind to you. And you feel it so deeply because it has penetrated your aura because you have given it to someone else. Now, the same thing if you have been kind to other people, and someone who is cruel comes into your life and makes
you went exactly where my next question was going to go.
Okay.
Go ahead. Complete your thought. I'm sorry. It's just as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, and that was going to be my next question.
Okay. So if I have been kind to someone else and someone comes into my life who is cruel and makes a cruel comment towards me, it may come toward me, but it's going to bounce off my aura and not penetrate it, which means that I won't feel the cruelty. I will notice it. I might say, oh, that wasn't a very nice remark, or how about that cruelty, or something like that, but it won't impact me personally. And that's how our aura protects us, and which means that we can create the kind of experience we want with other people by the experience we are giving others.
And let's talk about that, if I may. Can you give an example, like a concrete, specific example that listeners can, again, wrap their arms around? of exactly what you were just talking about.
That's exactly what started this book. I was coming home from work one day, and things had not gone well. I believed in the mirror theory, or the idea of reflection, you know, everyone reflecting our energy. And I was trying to get out of the mode of whose fault is this, and into the mode of what did I do to invite it? And that's really what
I'm saying. Oh, I like that. I like that. So rather than you know, expressing yourself on the freeway with, you know, two or more words, or two or three or less words, you might take a look at yourself and say, what did I do to create this
exactly.
person cutting me off? I like that.
Yes, because that's a great example. Great example living in California, because that really happens a lot. And so if you're really angry that you've been cut in front of, and somebody is being rude on the roadway, it means that in some way you have done the same thing to somebody else. Whether it's cutting in front of someone on the freeway, or whether it's being rude to them, or cutting them out in the office. However, it doesn't have to be picture for picture. It's emotion for emotion. So in some way, you are really angry, then you have done the same thing to someone else. The same feeling. You've given the same feeling to someone else. It doesn't mean, you know, you could be angry at someone cutting you off in the freeway. That doesn't necessarily mean that you cut someone else off on the freeway. It could have meant that, but it not necessarily. It could have meant that you cut someone off in another way.
But at work, perhaps, by being curt or not nice or unforgiving, or, you know, any of the above. And I hate to stop you here, because I love this philosophy of life, and I could listen to you all day long, but it is time to take a short break. This is Trish Ferrante, and my guest today is Betsy Thompson. You are listening to Talk Time with Trish on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Please stay tuned.
Talk Time with Trish is proud to sponsor the Worldwide Sports Recap, hosted by Mr. Steve. Summertime is here. Not only the kids playing outside all their favorite sports, but they have been blessed with some amazing performances by some of their favorite teams during this playoff run. The NBA kicked off the finals in Miami last night with the favorite Miami Heat losing 92-88 on their home court to go down 1-0 in the series. But don't worry, Miami fans. Even though the Game 1 winner has won over 70% of the championships, in the last 2 years, including Miami's championship last year, the loser of Game 1 has won the last two world championships. In NHL news, it looks like the Boston Bruins are the team of destiny this year. They just keep steamrolling along. They have taken a commanding 3-0 lead in a series over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Anybody who knows hockey didn't see this coming. They're making the Penguins look like a peewee hockey team. In the Western Conference, the Chicago Blackhawks are starting to look like the team that stormed through the regular season and have a 3-1 series lead over defending champs Los Angeles Kings as they head back to Chicago, where they look to wrap things up this Saturday. Well, my friend Vicky, at least you get to see one game in Chicago this weekend. Well, I guess I'm not too bad at this sports stuff, because if you recall last week's show, I predicted a Maria Sharapova-Serena Williams finals match at the French Open, and that's exactly what we ended up with. Both women are playing at an extremely high level of tennis and should be a great match tomorrow. As I am writing this, defending champion Rafael Nadal and number one player in the world, Novak Djokovic, are headed to a decisive fifth set to see who makes the finals on Sunday. I'm looking forward to next week as the NBA and NHL finals continue, and the U.S. Open champion of golf will be crowned next Sunday on Father's Day. Make sure to give your father a big hug and thank him for all he's done. Thanks for listening to the Worldwide Sports Recap. Till next week, this is your host, Mr. Steve.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Talk Time with Trish. If you have a question or comment regarding today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you can send an email to info@talktimewithtrish.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, this is Trish Ferrante, and welcome back to Talk Time with Trish. My guest today is Betsy Thompson, and we're talking about how to make action-reaction work for you instead of against you. Before the break, Betsy, we were talking about what you called mirroring. Tell me where you would like to go from here. What do you, would you like our listening audience to get from our time together today?
To know that everything that every person you meet is a gift to you, and that they are teaching you something you need to know about yourself. Whether it's a person who reflects something wonderful to you, or it's a person who reflects something to you that's uncomfortable, it's always a gift telling you where the growth is for you. Because we live in a universe that is completely balanced. The cosmos shows us how, what our lives are all about, because the planets stay in perfect balance, and if one of the planets goes out of orbit, it would turn into chaos and everything would disintegrate. So everything, because the universe is balanced, everything within the universe is balanced as well, which means that we are always in balance with the people around us. And we don't get ahead in the world by jumping from job to job to job unless we're moving there, appreciating the last job we had and understanding why we had it. Because you take yourself with you wherever you go, which is a very trite saying, but very true. And therefore, the same challenge faces you in every job you have until you deal with the challenge. And this is true in life, too. The people come into your life to help you. If you refuse to learn it through the person who's in front of you now, then another person pops up, because you find your mirror wherever you go. And this is a blessing, not a curse.
Well, and let's talk about that for a second, because I will bet you that our boards are going to be lighting up with that one.
Okay.
And that probably doesn't surprise you. But let's talk about that and just sort of kind of dissect it a little bit for the audience. What do you mean when you say, again, an example, I'm big on stories and examples. When you say something good that comes to you, that's a message, and something not so good that comes to you, that's a message as well. And it's my understanding that you're saying we should embrace both. And
yes.
And the good that comes, I can hear the listening audience saying, yep, I get that one, but not the not so good. You know, I'm not the one that invited the car accident, which is the typical. I'm not the one who invited the bankruptcy. I'm not the one who invited the broken heart. You know, I'm not the one who invited the corrupt children or the corrupt employer. You know, take me there.
Well, first of all, when you say that you're not the one who invited this or invited that, you're really teetering on the idea that your soul is a dummy and doesn't know where to have you and when to have you there and what anything's all about. Your soul is all knowing. Your soul, it comes from the view of the peanut gallery instead of the orchestra pit where we sit. It knows the whole journey. It sees the whole picture. It knows your past before you got here, and it knows where you're headed. And so therefore, it always has you where you need to be and who you need to face.
Can you give an example of that, Betsy? Can you just...
I have to accept that that each of my marriages was teaching me something I need to know about myself. Each of them reflected an insecurity that I had within myself. Now, it's not always the same insecurity that you share with somebody else, but it is reflecting an insecurity inside of you. And therefore, it is something that I needed to look at, and I needed to deal with, and I needed to heal that insecurity before I was going to attract people who didn't have insecurities that were as big as mine were. And so, therefore,
so what kind of work did you do on yourself to deal with that, so that you didn't take whatever these, let's call them two insecurities into your next relationship or relationships, albeit friendships, family ships or love relationships? How did you do that?
I didn't do it in a love relationship until I realized that I didn't respect myself. I didn't hold a respect for myself, and therefore I attracted people to me who were very happy not to respect me either.
Ooh.
So,
okay.
Ooh, okay.
I like that.
I had to find respect for myself before I was going to attract people into my life who would respect me, because I couldn't attract people who were respectful to me if I wasn't respectful of me. They were all finding other people who were respectful like they were. When people come to me and say they want to find the perfect mate, I say, well, take a piece of paper and a pen and write down all the qualities you want that person to have. And as long as it is or as short as it, just write down everything you want that person to have. And then go at the top of the list and start giving all those qualities to other people. Because if you don't, the person with all those qualities is going to be off finding somebody else with all those qualities, not you.
I like that. That's a great gift to give someone. That really is. I'm picturing that in a clinical mental health setting and saying that to a client. I'm not sure how it would be received, but I think it's great. I fully agree with you. So let's see how this works.
And it's an exercise that you can do. I mean, it's an exercise, a tangible exercise that you can sit down and do for yourself.
I agree. So let's say that on my list, I have kind, generous, and honest. Is it your suggestion that I take a look at myself and make sure that I am kind, generous, and honest? Is that what you're suggesting?
Absolutely, because then that becomes a part of your aura or the energy around you and what you are putting out into the universe, and therefore what you can attract back.
I see. Therein lies the mirror.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. And well, that
we are not, you know, we are not victims of our own thoughts or our own actions. It's no good to say, oh, I couldn't help myself. Well, if you can't help yourself and your emotions, then all that means is that you're going to attract people back to you who can't help themselves either in their emotions. And so you have to understand that the opinions you take and the actions you take and the viewpoints you have are the ones that you're putting out there into this energy field all around you. And so therefore it's like oil going to oil, water going to water, but not mixing. Oil and water not mixing. You cannot attract back something that you are not willing to give.
Well, you know, again, I am in agreement with you, but I can imagine our listeners, there would be some listeners out there that would sort of take issue with that. And let's use the example, like attracts like, which is what you espouse to, but how about opposites attract? What would you say to that?
I think it's a myth.
Okay, tell me why.
As opposite, they wouldn't be compatible. They wouldn't be compatible energy. And I think that people get hung up on the idea that, well, you know, how can you say that everything's in perfect order when some child dies in an automobile accident at the age of two or something? Or how can you say everything's in perfect order if you have an automobile accident and your family is killed and God forbid that doesn't happen to you? However, if it does, there's one option of blaming, you know, some nebulous energy that, you know, your life is doomed to have misery or unhappiness in it. There's the other point of view that something positive can be gained from this and I'm going to find it. And you see this happen all the time. You see people on the news who have had tragic things happen to their children and they create funds that help other children. They create big foundations that are beneficial to thousands and thousands of people because they have taken a tragedy and they have found what they can learn from it. They have found how they can use it in a positive way. And then their life turns
around. But is the suggestion there, though? Is the suggestion there? And again, I'm just going to play with this a little bit because I know or I suspect what I'm going to hear at some point is the suggestion there that in order to have a foundation or a fund or a scholarship or any a memorial or any of those things, is tragedy required?
Let's look at it this way. What if the child who died, who created that foundation, what if they came here for the specific purpose of doing that? What if that was their journey and their mission while they were here, that they wanted to do something productive and that was their way of doing it?
I'm speechless, and anyone who knows me would say, wow, how did that happen? But you got me.
People have different purposes for coming here. People have different reasons for being here. Some people may plan to be here for 2 years, some for 100. We don't know what their goal is or what their reason for being here is or why their reason is for leaving. So to try to figure that out is to stay in a hopeless, confused position your entire life. If you take the position of the other position, that people's souls are wise for their journey. The soul knows why they're here, how long they're going to be here, what they want to do while they're here, and when they want to leave. If you trust that, you will have a lot more trust in your own life and what is happening in your life, because the trust you give to others, you receive and feel.
And how does that comport with, let's say, for example, something just outrageously egregious, like, I almost feel the hair on the back of my neck standing up trying to say the word. How does that comport with murder, for example? Is your thinking the same way?
Absolutely. It's the same way. Nobody is where they should not be, and they know where they need to be. The soul would not have somebody around a murderer unless there was a reason for the soul to be there. You must have lived and found in certain situations you're going in one direction, then suddenly you change your mind and you do something else. Because for some reason, the direction you're going in, your soul knows isn't productive. And so you make a different decision. Like a thought comes into your head, I need to do this first, or I'm supposed to be somewhere else at that time. That kind of thing happening, that the soul is guiding you to be where you need to be, guiding you in the flow of your life and trusting that flow.
Well, and I want to give you an example in my own life of that exactly, because you pinpointed something that I want to ask you about. But it is time to take a short break. I will ask you when we come back. This is Trish Ferrante, and my guest today is Betsy Thompson. You're listening to Talk Time with Trish on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Please stay tuned.
Talk Time with Trish is a proud sponsor of the third annual Jackson Laskowski Keep Hope Alive charity golf tournament, hosted by Tim and Michelle Laskowski. This amazing event will take place on Saturday, July 13th at the Westchester Country Club in Boynton Beach, Florida. The event will include a golf tournament, awards dinner, raffle, and live and silent auctions. Jackson is a six-year-old little boy battling stage 4 liver cancer, and we are looking for sponsors and golfers for our fundraiser to benefit our nephew Jackson. You and your family or company can be a part of this very special event by golfing or donating sponsorships or items to help pay for what is not covered by insurance. You can call the chairperson, Michelle Laskowski, at 561-252-2933 or go to their website at employeeassistanceprogram.com to see the link for more information. That's 561-252-2933 or go to employeeassistanceprogram.com. Thank you for your support and love for Jackson and his family. Please keep hope alive for our children battling cancer. The question of the day. Do you want to work at a job you love to do, or do you need to work at a job just to pay the bills? Can you live life without integrity, and do you have to be perfect to be happy? Can you take your emotional actions and reactions and make them work for you instead of against you? These are some of the exciting questions that our guest today, author Betsy Otter Thompson, will guide you through in her new book, What Happens If I? Betsy's book will take you on a journey toward growth and understanding. Using a little humor, Betsy's book will provide the reader with practical skills to reach a fuller, richer, and more meaningful life. If you're interested in purchasing Betsy's book, What Happens If I?, go to her website, www.betsythompson.com, or you can go on amazon.com and search for books by Betsy Otter Thompson. That's www.betsythompson.com or amazon.com and search for books by Betsy Otter Thompson.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Talk Time with Trish. If you have a question or comment regarding today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you can send an email to info@talktimewithtrish.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, this is Trish Ferrante, and welcome back to Talk Time with Trish. My guest today is Betsy Thompson, and we're talking about how to make action-reaction work for you instead of against you. Betsy, here's what I wanted to just make mention of, because that last example that you gave, I'm presuming spirit is sort of guiding us and directing us down this path. But what came to mind for me was when I was going for my doctorate, I had one topic in mind and was about halfway through, and it was suggested to me that I take a look at perhaps looking at other topics to write about and research. Is that sort of the kind of thing that would be an example of what you're suggesting when you say our soul guides us?
Of course, yes. If you had a good feeling about looking in another direction, then it definitely
No,
was.
I didn't. I was sort of told that was probably not a bad idea. I did not. I would have kept going. As miserable as I was, I would have kept going.
Well, then the person was answering a prayer, because they were sending you in a direction that was more productive, obviously, if that's what you ended up doing.
It is.
So,
it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is an energy stepping into your life when it's needed. And that, I think, is an answer to a prayer, as your soul knew that you were headed in a direction it didn't think was productive as another direction. Somebody, and you weren't open to hearing it, then somebody else stepped in to help you.
I like that. I like that, the piece that you just stated, I wasn't open to hearing it. So what that suggests to me is that there are helpers out there? Are there invisible helpers that sort of prompt us and move us along? Or how does that
work? Well, I think helpers are everywhere. I mean, I think the helpers are in the people you know, like this person who made the suggestion, and they're out of spirit too. I mean, I don't think there's anything to do except to expand your heart. So souls that are out of form right now, they're doing the same thing we're doing. They're trying to expand too. And so they're going where they feel they can be of service, or where they feel they can help somebody move in a productive direction. I mean, what could be more fun? I mean, I'm sure souls out of form don't loll around doing nothing all the time. They're looking for something productive to do, just like we are. And so they're looking where they feel they can be helpful, and where they can be constructive in what they're doing. And I don't think there's that much of a difference between here and there, because after all, what makes us here is simply an illusion that is here today and gone tomorrow. And the picture is much bigger than what we see with our eyes. There is energy all over the place.
Yeah. And I agree with that. You could almost feel it. An example of that might be when someone walks in the room and, you know, the impression of that individual is he or she lit up the room. Or when someone walks in the room and you go, "Ooh, I don't know, I just got the sense I don't want to go near that person." Is that sort of the dance that you're talking about?
Well, I mean, you're trusting your feelings in that instance, and your feelings tell you everything. And everybody has an energy about them, and some of the energy isn't compatible with yours. So if a person comes into the room that you have no interest in knowing, then there's no reason for you to know that person. But if there
no,
is
no,
a reason.
No, I'm talking about beyond that. I'm talking about beyond that, where, you know, again, the hair standing up on the back of the neck says, "Ooh, you just really want to stay away from that one."
And that's your soul, and that's your own energy telling you, your own guidance telling you that's not for you.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Always trust yourself. Always trust your own feelings about things. Always. The only reason that you need to delve into it further is if you are feeling that somebody has been, you are feeling in your heart uncomfortable around someone who is in your life, like in your job, in your home. Someone is very uncomfortable around, you're uncomfortable around that person because they make you angry, they make you feel uncomfortable, they give you thoughts that are not helpful. For instance, when I was a child and I knew that my mother did not, I was not the daughter my mother wanted me to be. I knew that. But I was also thinking at the same time, she is not the mother I want her to be. So we were perfect mirrors of each other in that instance. We both had the same thought. I wasn't who she wanted me to be, and she wasn't who I wanted me to be. So we were together because we had the same idea.
That's very interesting. That's very, very interesting in terms of when you had that recognition. Can you sort of give me a time period?
I didn't have that recognition for years until I really began to look at my life more honestly. And I could see when I looked back that we were, you know, even though I was, did not see it then, I did not see it then. We just clashed on everything. But I see that, now I see that. I see that was in a way we were perfect mirrors. Now, how do I know what I lived? I don't know what my past experience has been. I believe we live lifetimes after lifetimes and not necessarily even on this earth plane, maybe some in another universe, but we're always in a constant state of growth. And so who knows what I lived in a past lifetime where I needed to learn lessons this lifetime that had to do with it. And the fact that I was with my mother, I'm sure, was that we had lessons to learn together. And I think of her now as the greatest gift that was ever given to me, because I've gotten past the idea of thinking I have to forgive her, because why would you have to forgive somebody for actually giving you the miracle that allowed you to understand what release and forgiveness is all about? And that's what happened with that. And so she was the one, it was the fact that I was so different from her in my ideas about life that pushed me to find a philosophy that did work for me. And that's been the greatest gift I've ever received. So, you know, it takes, you must look at yourself honestly and say, you know, what is going on here that I need to look at? And where can I find the positive in what happened? Because whatever focus you take, as we said before, is going to expand. And if you're always find the negative and the negative, the negative, then there's always more negative to find. If you start finding for the positive, looking for the positive and finding the positive, then there is always more positive to find. I sat down one day and I started making a list of the things that I could be grateful for from knowing my mother. And I thought I'd find two or three things at the most. And I ended up with about 25, because as soon as I took a positive focus, the positive focus expanded.
Well, and let's talk about the word expansion in a little bit more detail, because I'm just so fascinated by what you're saying. For the listening audience, can you really, really delve into what that word means? Because you and I know what that means, but I'd like our listening audience to have the same appreciation that I think we both have for that word, because that's a big, big word.
I'm sure that everybody in the audience has gotten into a rut of thinking a certain way about a certain person. And the more you categorize that person in a certain way, the more you add to the categorization to prove yourself that you're right about that person.
You can find more things. Okay.
More and more things. Absolutely. If you want to do a test for yourself, then take the person you like the least in your life and start finding what's positive about that first person and see what happens. Not only will you find more and more positive things, but you're going to change the relationship with that person, because they're going to feel your positive attitude towards them instead of your negative attitude towards them.
Okay. As you were talking, I was thinking about a person or two that I liked the least in my life. And I was thinking, let's see, this is rather challenging. Yeah. So what I will do is I will take on that challenge once we're off air. And I will play with it a little bit and get back to you and let you know how I do. But we are getting ready to wrap up, Betsy. And so tips and tricks. We have about 30 seconds to close. What will you leave our audience with?
Okay. First of all, trust that the flow of your life is your soul bringing you everything that's important in the moment. Trust the moment. And see your biggest challenges as the miracle trying to birth through love, release, and forgiveness. And remember, remember, remember that whatever you focus on is going to expand. So choose what you want to expand.
And thank you so much, Betsy. You've been a fabulous guest for us and with us today. And before we close, I would like to invite you to tune in to next week's show, where we will get the opportunity to speak with author, Jodi Ambrose, as she discusses her book, Sex, How to Get More, a handbook designed with the male audience in mind about how to have a happy and healthy relationship. I would like to thank our guest, Betsy Thompson. Betsy, again, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here today. And until next week, please be genuine, sincere, and authentic.
Thank you again for tuning in to Talk Time with Trish. Please join us again next Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. This week, see what you can do to improve communication with those around you.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.